This is number three in our series, doing faith versus fear. I was going to move on to the next one, but after I went back through the other ones, there's so much information there that we really, really, really need. And I studied this here, this, can't leave it out. There's just too much information there for people that can set their lives free. People that are not even here tonight that will be getting this. I always think about them as well, because you know, it's not my message, it's his. And this is something that he wants us to know. The reason is because it's going to get darker and darker. It's not going to get any easier to walk in this life in the future. We know Jesus is coming, and we know as the closer we get to the King coming, the darker it's going to get. And we haven't seen anything yet. If we can't live by faith now, what are we going to do when it does get bad? If we don't know how it works when we get there, we're going to be in big time trouble. But we got to know the mechanics of these things. And if we don't, we're going to be walked all over. It's just the way it is. And we need to know these truths. So this will be our last one on this. We'll move on into our next section next week. But I really felt strongly, I've been praying about this all week, you know, trying to decide whether I move on or do this one. And there's just too much in here. We need to know the comparison between the two. And especially, I don't think any of us here are playing games. I think we are serious with God. We're serious about our walk with Him. And we want to be an answer to someone else as we go through life. We want to be a source that God can use. And this is one of the most important. Next to the love walk itself, this is one of the most important areas of that we need to study and have knowledge of. Because it affects us every day of our life. Not only us, but our family, our friends, and many others. We have to have this knowledge, or we will be defeated. It's just that simple. We're going to walk in faith and love, or fear and worry. We're going to walk in one or the other. And we just need to have this knowledge. So this is our foundational statement or confession as we start. A person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person who is committed to and diligently walking the love walk, developing the fruit of the Spirit in every area of their lives. They are faithful to God and to His living Word. They walk a life of faith anchored in God's living Word. That's the key, anchored in God's living Word. We're not going to walk a life of faith without being anchored in God's Word. We're anchored in something. Fear, worry, depression, or love, faith, and the Word. We're going to be anchored as a source of life in one of those places. Now, I'm going to be moving rather quickly through these statements that I have to hear. Some will sound the same, but they're not. They're a comparison between one and between the two. So in order to cover this, I think I can. I'm going to be moving a little quickly through these. And we're going to start in our foundational scripture, which is 2 Timothy 4:7. The reason it's a foundational scripture is because it states the difference between the two and where they come from. 2 Timothy 1:7. We'll be there just a moment. Some of these scriptures we won't spend much time on as we go through, unless the Lord has something to say that I don't know. I hope He does. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Notice it's a spirit. Where does it come from? Satan. It's spiritual. Fear is spiritual. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. So it did not come from Him. He's not responsible for it. He didn't create it. Satan is the author of it. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. I like what the Amplified Bible says. It says a spirit of power and of love and a calm and well-balanced mind mm-hmm. and discipline and self-control. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're walking in fear, you're not disciplined. Your life is not disciplined.
You're not disciplined.
No, the fear is controlling you. Mm-hmm. And whenever it pops up, that's going to control your response. You're not controlling it. It's controlling you. Mm-hmm. And it's determining what's going to go on in your life because you're allowing it to. And we don't have to allow it to, especially if we're born again. But he's given us a calm and well-balanced mind. A person that's walking in fear is not well-balanced. He's not well-balanced. He's walking in fear. He's unbalanced. And he's carnal in his response to things. Even though he might be born again, even though he reads the Bible, even though he prays. If he's allowing fear and worry and fretting and all these things to function in their life, they are not well balanced.
We lose hope and we come to
Christ. That's right.
Yeah.
We're following fear.
He's giving you opportunities for you to take a hold of. He can't make you do anything. Mm-hmm. So he presents an opportunity for you to take. Mm-hmm. And you take it. You accept it. So once you accept it, now you got to function in it. Mm-hmm. You can, if you're born again, you can walk right out of that though. Not easy sometimes, especially if you've been practicing that fear and worry. But you can take a hold of the Word, and because you're born again, that's not what God gave you, and you can lay claim to your inheritance in the Word. Anchor yourself in the Word and walk right out of that thing. It won't be easy sometimes, but you can do it. Mm-hmm. Then no fear can hold you. There's no fear in love, and God is love, and we are love creatures. We can walk right out of that thing. Like Otis among Andy Griffith, got that key hanging right there. He could walk out any time he wants to, but he doesn't want to. He puts himself in there, but he can get out any time.
Oh, yeah.
And we can get out any time, too. But we have to practice our faith and walk in our faith, anchored in the Word, in order to do that. But I like it, well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. Self-control. Not controlled by the fear and worry, you control it. Faith is always applied in the now to the Word, not to the circumstance or situation or the problem. That I've said that in the last couple messages, but it needs to be said again because we try to apply our faith to the circumstance. It doesn't go there. It goes to the Word. Faith is always applied in the now to the Word, not the circumstance or the problem. Fear is always applied in the now to the circumstance or problem. See, it is similar. Both are applied. The one's applied to the Word, the other's applied to the circumstance. See, if you apply your faith to the circumstance, what you're doing is applying fear to it. They don't go there. It can't work there. Faith does not work on the circumstance. Fear does. That's where fear works. Faith works with hope. Fear works with worry. So if you're fretting and worrying and upset and anxious about something, what's working?
Fear.
Fear is working. The Word is not working because you're working with fear.
Yeah.
Faith works with hope, which is absolute earnest expectation. Faith and hope work with the Word. Hope is always future. Worry is always focused on the future. Mm. Both hope and worry operate in the future. You're not worried about something that's right now. You'll fear it because it's right here.
You'll deal with it.
You'll deal with it.
Or run.
Mm-hmm. But worry is something that's not even on the book. It's not even real yet.
Right.
And hope is working on something that's real, but it's working with the Word and faith on the Word to bring it to pass. But worry is working with fear to bring about what you want or what you don't want. You don't want it, But because you're worrying and fearing it, you are actually building it. And you don't know you're doing it.
Because you're focused on it.
You're focused on it.
You're going to bring it to pass.
So you cannot focus on your faith. Mm-hmm. And all the time you'll say, God, get me out of this. And he can't do very much because you're focused on the worry.
Yes.
You see, that's the way it works. And that's what Satan does. He starts presenting it just a little at a time. And we start swallowing it like vitamins or pills. They don't work immediately. They work over a process. So when you start fearing something, worry starts, and they start working together, a process starts developing. You're working a process towards something, towards failure.
Right, so you're kind of destroying yourself.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
You're hanging yourself.
Well, and how many of us, you know...
And we don't know that.
Don't want to hear somebody say, I told you so, I told you so.
Yeah, and they've done it themselves and don't know it. But see, they could have turned that. They could have got into the Word and start turning their faith and start applying their faith in the middle of that thing mm-hmm. and turn that thing.
Amen.
And you can do it anywhere along the line. Mm-hmm. But the longer you allow fear, worry, and fretting to work, the harder it is to deal with.
Because it becomes your mindset.
It becomes your mindset.
I got you.
Now, these are vital to our future. They really are.
Amen, they are.
Faith and hope work together, bringing forth manifestation. Faith and hope work together, bringing forth manifestation. Fear and worry work together, bringing forth manifestation.
Yep.
So it just depends on what you want. What do you want?
Well, they write books about why do bad things happen to good people.
Right there.
And I'm thinking, well, we don't know. As good as these people are, we're not there when they get mad and cuss and are fearful and afraid of certain things. You know, we never hear about that part.
But see, we've built these strongholds over our entire lives and don't realize we've been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes a habitual pattern of response. And we don't know we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we know it, now we can watch out for it. Now we can work with it. We may get knocked down, but we get right back up.
Right.
You know, and God will help us get up. God told me that one time. He said, I'm not looking at how many times you fail. I'm looking at how many times you get back up. And he knows you're going to fail. And he provided for that. He made a way so that we don't have to. But he can't pick me up. He will lift me if I take his hand. But I have to do the reaching. Hebrews 11:1. We'll spend just a second there so you can turn if you want to. We've said it a couple of times this week. Over this series. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith and hope work together, bringing forth manifestation.
Well, it's like you said, like you order something online, and it's yours. You paid for it.
It's mine.
You got a receipt. Sometimes we have to look at faith as our receipt, that yes, this thing belongs to us, we got it, the title, we haven't got it yet, it hasn't been delivered yet, but mm-hmm. it is ours. We can stand up and say, yeah, that's our thing.
The Amplified says it's a title deed, and it is. That's what our faith and hope working together is a title deed to that. Faith applied to God's Word. So you can apply faith to God's Word and not act on it. Faith applied to God's Word and acted upon becomes hope, absolute earnest expectation, leading to the manifestation of the desired results hoped for. Faith applied to God's Word and acted upon
mm-hmm.
becomes hope, absolute earnest expectation, leading to the manifestation of the desired results, hope, the desired results hoped for. When faith, the Word, mm-hmm. patience, and hope come together in a now moment, you got manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
But patience keeps them working together over that process to manifestation. Once they get in the same place, you've got manifestation. Now hope is done, and faith is done, and patience is done, because you got it. But until that point, they work together. I have to maintain my patience. That's my job. And those are fruits of the Spirit, faith and hope. Faith and patience. Now, we're comparing the two. Fear applied to Satan's deceptions and acted upon becomes worry. Worry then becomes doubt and unbelief, leading to the manifestation of what was feared.
I think the most important aspect of either one of these, both of them actually, is what we say.
What we say.
Is the words of our mouth.
We're going to say what we believe.
Yeah.
We're going to say, and we may not do it in front of people, but we're going to be responding in some way to what we really believe. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If fear and worry is something you've been practicing, then that's what you're going to be talking about. If you have been in the Word on this, you're studying the Word, you're praying, you're combating that fear and stuff when it comes up, you're casting it away from you. Mm-hmm. Casting the care on the Lord, anchored in the Word that you've been confessing. When that happens, then you're going to get the desired results. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to speak that. Despite what your thoughts are, you're going to be speaking what the Word says to control the thoughts.
You know, I learned something. There's a preacher named Mike Murdoch. I don't know if you want to include
this. Yeah, I remember him. Good minister.
He was an outstanding ministry. But he said, if you think words don't matter, you know, because a lot of people don't even consider words important. You speak anything you want to speak. He said, I can repeat the word yes to you. And in 5 minutes, if I just keep saying yes, yes, you'll be so happy. But if I continue to say no, 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 in 5 minutes, you'll start getting depressed and mad. You'll be getting mad at me. And even if you don't know why I'm telling you no, just that word. He said, I can repeat the word march to you. And just keep saying march. And he said, in 5 or so minutes, you won't be able to keep your feet still. Your adrenaline will start coming up because you feels like a command, you know. Words have effect.
Why, sleep. Now, don't do it now.
But, you know, because, you know, just lately someone has told us something about somebody. Oh, they're going downhill fast. No, don't say
not.
That.
They're not going.
They're
down.
Not. They're not even as old as we are.
We
Why would they say somebody's going downhill? Stop saying that.
We confess the opposite.
You know, let the weak say, "I am strong." You've got to do that.
That's,
you can't
that's
just think
job.
It. You're not going to think your way out of these problems.
Both faith and fear are applied with words. With thoughts, with actions.
Mostly words, though.
Yeah. They'll become what they're applied to. If you don't want it, don't talk it. Faith works by love. We said that 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
But we still really haven't got it.
Faith works
by love. If I want my faith to work, I've got to practice love, not fear and worry.
Mm-hmm.
Fear and worry will not build your faith. It'll build fear. Faith works by love. Confess love, declare love, do loving things. Faith works by love, or it's powered by love. Our love walk is vital to our faith. Your fear walk is vital to Satan, to accomplishing what he wants accomplished. We don't need to go there, but Galatians 5:6b says, faith worketh by love. Faith comes by hearing God's living word. Romans 10:17. I put it down there so, because we'll only be there just a minute. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes. Faith comes. Faith comes by hearing. and by hearing the word of God. That always bothered me. Why did he add that? He already said faith comes by hearing. Why do you say by the word? Because faith comes by whatever you're hearing.
Yeah.
Good or bad. You're building it by what you're hearing. Fear also comes by hearing. Hearing the words of Satan in the world. If you fill your ears with what's wrong, even your own speaking it, you're hearing it.
Uh-huh.
So those words are feeding something. They're building something. You're speaking the negative, so the negative, you're hearing it, you're building it. Fear also comes by hearing. Hearing the words of Satan and the world. Once faith comes, it is then developed through meditating and acting on God's living word, which is absolute truth. So once it comes, once you hear it and it comes, then it has to be developed. There's an ongoing process to develop that faith once it comes. So it is then developed through meditating and acting on God's living word, which is absolute truth. You meditate on it, you think about it, your faith is being built.
Speak it.
You're speaking it. Well, let's look at Joshua 1:6. This is very important to our walk with God, very important to discerning what's going to be functioning in our life. Joshua 1:6, be strong and of good courage. That was a commandment. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to you their fathers to give them. Now they're not even in the land yet. They're not in there. But notice how God is calling things that be not as though they were. It's not their land yet. The enemy's living in, they haven't crossed over. They haven't had any fighting in their land, in the promised land yet. They've not put a foot in there other than to spy it. But he's already telling them that they're going to have to divide it as an inheritance. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. So what he's telling me, you're going to have to be strong and courageous to get this accomplished. That you may observe to do all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. That you may prosper wherever you go. So what brings the prosperity? Now talking money, but it's involved. Prospering in anything that they do. Whether it be the fighting they're going to do, or their meals, or whatever they're approaching, that they can prosper or be full.
Successful, yeah.
Huh?
Go on.
Yeah, be full and accomplish what they're going to do, that they can prosper there and win those battles or take the ground they're assigned to. So that word prosper there, it means nothing broken, nothing lost. It means to be full and fulfilled in whatever you're doing. The way they prospered was to be in. The way they prospered was be in the word, to be strong and very courageous, and not turn to the right or to the left. Their peripheral vision had to be limited. They had to focus on where they're going, and that's not changed. Then it says, "This book of the law or the word shall not depart from your mouth." So what do you do with your mouth? You're speaking it. Shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Meditate in it. Think about it. Mutter it. One of the definitions from meditating in the Bible is to mutter. Or to confess.
And repeat.
And to repeat. So what you're doing, you're speaking it, you're meditating on it, you're declaring it, so you're thinking about it as you're doing it. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, when it says for then, what's that mean? It means when you do that.
Yeah. Condition.
When you do this, then this will happen. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. In other words, if you don't do that, you're not going to. And that hasn't changed either.
So when it says depart, it's not saying not to speak it. It's saying not to speak what you're studying in the Word. It means not to let it leave you.
Right, right. Keep don't
it,
let it slip
that
away.
Word always looks like, huh? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Well, then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. He said it again. He commanded it. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. So what's the enemy here?
Fear.
Now, who makes the choice? He did. Joshua had to make the choice, I'm not going to allow fear to work. Otherwise, he could not be of strong and of good courage. He could courage.
Well, if you think 40 years ago, all them people told all their fearful stories, and it spoiled it for them.
It's his second trip to that spot.
Yeah, this is their second trip over there, Joshua and Caleb.
Joshua and Caleb, it's their second time in that same spot.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, on top of everything else, Joshua has taken Moses' place. And he's never led people like that before. He's always been a warrior. What's the first thing that happens? He crosses over and he can't fight. He just walks. 7 days. I mean, he had to be courageous and committed and know that this is the voice of the Lord telling me to do this, to walk and not fight.
And it doesn't say so that at the time, Jericho may not have had a wall.
But when they were there the first time.
Yeah, and they could have gone in there and took that.
If they did, it was not as big as it was.
Well, once they canceled out, you know, and chickened out, they knew they were coming because 40 years later, they still remembered these were the people who came through the Red Sea.
They remembered it.
Yeah.
Their courage had departed them.
Yeah.
They were afraid of Israel. And, you know, they had 40 years to build that wall.
Yeah.
It was so big, there was houses built in it,
mm-hmm.
inside the wall. I mean, that's a big wall. And it came down not by bombarding it, just by shouting and walking. Praise God. I don't think it would have come down any other way.
Probably not. They were not able to.
They were not able to defeat that city. But by doing it God's way, because Joshua had done this, then they were successful. Have I not, verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord God is with you wherever you go. That's why he was not supposed to be afraid. It's because God was with them. God, he could anchor his faith in what God said here. He could anchor his faith in that and anchor his faith in the Word. Now we're going to go to real quickly to Philippians 4 and 6. Now I know most of us are familiar with this, but there's some good instructions here for handling and dealing with fear. Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing, and that's absolutely nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, because when you give thanksgiving, you're actually in receiving.
You're receiving.
You're in a position to receive. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It will guard your hearts and minds because you're focused. If you're not focused, it will not guard your heart and mind. You'll walk in fear. But you have to focus. Then he tells us what to focus on in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, or that means excellence, And if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. He's saying basically the same thing that God told Joshua. These are what you think on. This is what you think on. When those thoughts of worry and fear and failure come your way, you turn that to the good report. Well, there's no good report here. There's something good. Even if you got to go into the Word and get it and confess that, there's good to confess. There's good to focus on. You can do it. But you have to do it. You may need help doing it, but that's okay. Once fear comes, and it comes, faith comes by hearing, fear comes by hearing. Once fear comes, it is then developed through meditating and acting on Satan's words, his deceptions, which are absolute lies. When you meditate on faith, it develops. When you meditate on fear, it develops. You're the one that chooses. Faith is applied by speaking of things that are not as though they were. Romans 4:16-17. Faith is applied by speaking of things that are not as though they were. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. In other words, the grace can't be there without faith. So that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I love that statement, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. This whole section of Scripture is saying that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be calling things that are not as though they were. We do that by faith, as Hebrew tells us, it's the evidence of things not seen, our faith is. But here's the other part of that. Faith is applied by speaking of things that are not as though they were. Fear is also applied by speaking of things that are not as though they were. Both are aimed at hope and worry. So you're speaking things that you're hoping for, and you're speaking things that you're fearing. They develop the same way. It's the very same thing. We're just doing it in reverse. When we allow fear to work, and that's what we're talking about, then we're developing it. We're calling those things that are not as though they were. Both faith and fear are applied the same way. They're both applied that way. I have to choose which one I want. Faith applied to the abiding word in the heart of the believer brings forth life. If I don't apply the faith to the abiding word, the word that lives in us, then it cannot bring forth life. And we're going to Proverbs, and this is amplified, because it says it straight out. Proverbs 4:20-23. My son, attend to my words. Consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. That's what God told Joshua. That's what he told him right there to do. Verse 22. For they, your words, for they are life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. Faith applied to the abiding word in the heart of the believer brings forth life. That's an absolute truth. Fear applied to Satan's lies and deceptions brings forth death. Fear applied to Satan's lies and deceptions bring forth death. If you don't want death, don't apply your faith or your fear to his lies. Fear must be received before it can enter the heart and stop faith. It has to be received. See, we choose. We receive one or the other. We choose that. It can't just come in and destroy. It has to be received. You have to agree with the fear for the fear to be able to work. Fear must be received before it can enter the heart and stop faith. In Matthew 14:30, we see Peter struggling where he walked on the water. He'd done fine until he was afraid. When he received the fear, when he saw the waves, boisterous, he received fear from that. He acted on that. And when he did, he sunk. He was walking by faith. Then he feared, and he sunk. That's a good example of allowing fear to enter. In Luke 21:25, Jesus says, "And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. On the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and expectation of those things which are coming on earth. For the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." There's people that have heart attacks from fear. People die from fear. From fear. And that's what Jesus is saying here. It's going to be a lot worse in the future than it is now. But there's people that commit suicide themselves because of fear. Fear and worry. It's demonic. It has no business with the believer. Stopping fear before it enters in is an act of the person's free will. Fear has to enter. Faith has to enter. We must choose faith instead of fear. We are the ones that decide which is going to be an authority in our lives. Remember that. Satan is not the one that chooses. Neither is God. They both offer. We choose. Luke 12:32 is amplified. "Do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." He's not holding anything back. He's wanting to give us what we need. And it's already available. He's not holding anything back. We hold it back. We hold it back. "Do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear." I can take that as a commandment. And it is. "For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So if it's his good pleasure, why don't we go receive it? Then Isaiah 41:10 amplified again. I just love the way this says this. This is a rock solid scripture for me. Isaiah 41:10 amplified classic. "Fear not," another commandment. "There is nothing to fear." I like that. "Fear not, there is nothing to fear." Oh yeah? Have you seen what I'm going through right now? Have you seen what's outside there? You say there's nothing to fear? There's nothing to fear. Why? "For I am with you." "For I am with you." That's what he said in that last verse we read. "Fear not, there is nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of righteousness and justice. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties." He didn't say you wouldn't go through them. Why would he harden us to difficulties if we were not going to have to go through them? If there were going to be no difficulties in life, he wouldn't have to harden us to them. What he's telling us here is, "I'm going to strengthen you to the point you can walk right through that thing. But you cannot fear. If you fear, he cannot strengthen you." That makes sense?
Amen.
If you fear, he cannot strengthen you. But if you deal with the fear, and for I am with you, he says, do not look around in terror and be dismayed. That's our choice. We're not supposed to focus on the terror. We're not supposed to focus on the fear and the worry. We're supposed to be focusing on him and on his word. And then he can strengthen and harden us to those difficulties. But if we don't do our part, he can't. And if you think of it the way God said it there, there is nothing to fear.
Uh-huh.
Psalm 27, 1 to 4, and this is New King James. David was doing this very same thing. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Notice he's saying it. Right in the middle of his problems, he's speaking this. This is a good scripture to stand on when you're walking through trouble. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The last verse there in Isaiah 41, there's nothing to fear. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me. Now this is past tense. He's looking back. When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. See, he's rehearsing something that has already happened in the past. He's got an anchor, not only in the word, but he's got a memorial.
Amen.
He's got a place of remembrance where God has carried him through. Don't forget those times when God carried you through. Amen. The times when you went to God and he carried you through, he answered your prayers, and you saw his mighty hand, you know, at work in your life or in someone else's, or see it in the word like David did here. He's remembering what God did. The enemies stumbled and fell. Verse 3, though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. It's one against a thousand. I'm not going to fear this army. I absolutely refuse. That's what he's saying. I will not fear. Though a war arise against me, in this I will be confident. What is he confident in? Verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Notice where David's focus is. It's on his relationship with the Lord, not on the war going on around him. Not on the thousands or the army coming against him. Not on those that have stumbled and fell. His focus is not on the problem. His focus is on his relationship with the Lord. That's where he draws his strength from.
Amen.
And that's what he told Joshua. What God told Joshua. And that's what Isaiah 41:10 is talking about. Psalm 23, David again, in verse 4, we'll be here just a moment. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Again, he's focusing on his relationship with the Lord, on the fact that God is with him. So he says, I will not fear. He's saying that because God's with him. And then there's Hebrews 13:5b. I love this one too. It's right along the same line. For he himself, or God himself, has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And that same verse, same statements are in Psalm 118:6. Psalm 54:4 and 11, and Romans 8:31 and 39. So those are other places you'll find that same basic statement. I will not fear. And the Amplified says, I will not, I will not, I will not. Three times. I love that. Do not take the thoughts. That's your problem. That's why you're walking in fear and worry. You're taking the thought. Do not take the thoughts. Just because we have a thought does not make it our thought. It becomes our thought when we act on that thought. We are responsible for what we think on. We are responsible for what we think on. Now, we all have things that enter our minds as we're walking through life. They're not our thoughts. You might be just walking down the road and you think about something that happened and you get mad about it. Wait a minute, where'd that come from? Mm-hmm. Or you could be listening to a song or smelling a smell and a memory comes back. You didn't think that. Or somebody could be saying something and you automatically got mad.
Yeah.
But you don't know what you're mad about.
Yeah.
That wasn't your thought. Mm. When you act on the thought, now it's yours. That's when you lay claim to it. Mm-hmm. Satan's constantly bombarding our minds with thoughts. Constantly.
So he's like prince of the power of the air.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
That's constantly bombarding us with thoughts. The television.
Oh, the television.
Music.
Yes.
Movies.
Yes.
We're constantly having those thoughts come our way, and we'll respond to them without even realizing we are. They're not our thoughts. You know,
well, Henry Ford, they said that he kept a saucer upside down on his desk, because, and people would come and they'd see it and they'd try to fix it. He said, no, I'll leave it like that is. He said, that's what's coming. Your head has to be like that. When everything is coming to you,
right?
If you turn that over, everything will go in it. You don't want everything going in there.
Turn the saucer over, they bounce off.
It's got to be protected.
You have to decide what you're going to do with that thought.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we just had little thoughts? Maybe we're thinking about a brownie. We shouldn't have a brownie, but we think about
or
the brownie.
Pie or something.
All of a sudden, we act on it. Now that brownie's mine.
Yeah.
You know, we're wondering. Maybe you're planning on something, and you start having thoughts about that.
Well, I stay up all night when I'm planning something.
Yeah. Or when you're having an argument with somebody. And it's all in your head. Then when you get there, you're mad as an old wet hen.
Yes.
But it never happened.
They didn't say what you thought they would say.
You have to take those thoughts captive. And I believe that's our next scripture. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. I speak this over my life every day. I declare it. I want this.
Okay.
2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, I make it personal.
Okay.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Fear is and worry is a stronghold. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, or to obedience to the Word, or to the obedience to love. I say it this way, for though I walk in the flesh, I do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. I cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and I bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Oh, wow.
I make it personal.
Wow.
Because I want that. You have to guard your thoughts. If you don't, they're going to walk all over you. The enemy will rule, and you started it. You caused it. In the 1 Peter 5, this is Amplified, 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves. God's not going to humble you. You humble yourself. Demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Not only does he love you and care about affectionately, but also watchfully. I love that. We receive what we continually look at. Faith or fear. If all you watch is programs dealing with fear, that's all you watch, then guess what you're going to do? You're going to be afraid.
Yes.
You're going to get up in the middle of the night. You're going to have dreams about them. All those things. If we receive what we continually look at, faith or fear, if we are focusing our attention on worry and fear, what we are afraid of or worried about will come to pass. We're developing a process. It will happen. Fear does not belong to the born-again believer. Fear is under the curse of the law.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 28, 65 and 67. I'm in a hurry here, so don't worry about going there. And among those nations you shall find no rest. This is the curse of the law. And among those nations you will find no rest, nor shall your sole of your foot have a resting place. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and anguish of soul. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night, and know it with, and have no assurance of life. In the morning you shall say, "Oh, that it were evening!" And at evening you shall say, "Oh, that it were morning!" Because of fear, which terrifies your heart, and because of the sight which your eyes see. We're redeemed from that.
Amen.
And if we're going through that, we shouldn't be. We shouldn't be. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Anything you see, the blessings, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 13, that's the blessing. The rest of them, all the curses. We're redeemed from all those curses. If you find it in there, we're redeemed from it. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." We have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Jesus delivered us from fear. Hebrews 2:14, "Since, therefore, these his children share in flesh and blood, in physical nature of human beings, he himself, in a similar manner, partook of the same nature, that by going through death he might bring to naught and make no effect him who had the power of death, that is, the devil." He'd been brought to no effect. "And also that he might deliver and completely set free all those who through the haunting fear of death were held in bondage throughout the whole course of their lives." We've been redeemed. So in this dark hour that we are living in, we must believe the love that our loving Heavenly Father has for us. Mm-hmm. We must believe that. In order to walk by faith, we must believe the love.
Amen.
And John 17:23. This is God's desire, and I pray this every morning for the churches and for us. "And the glory which you gave me," Jesus said, "I have given them, that they," or that us, "that we may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." That he loves us just as the Father loves him. Exactly the same. 1 John 4:16. "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us." Do we? We believe that. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loves us.
Amen.
Praise God. This is the last one in this Amplified Classic. Romans 8:37. Yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors, and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. Mm-hmm. For I am persuaded. Are we persuaded? Mm-hmm. I am. Mm-hmm. We are persuaded. Beyond doubt, am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending, nor things and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us. We need to be confident in that. So why should we fear? What can man do to us? They kill us, big deal. So what? It doesn't work out. That's okay. There's something better ahead. You know? He loves us. I mean, that's just the way it is. Praise God. Next week we'll start on our next step, which would be on faithfulness. So, well, Father, we thank you for this day and for this time. Lord, this is meat without steak sauce. It's meat. And we want to thank you, Father, for the privilege we've had of studying faith versus fear. Continue to teach us, Lord. There's so much more that we need to know, so much more as we walk daily through our life. Guide us and keep us, Lord. Keep us ever aware that we are continuously making choices. Guard us in our choices. Cause us to desire to walk right with you in all of our ways. We want to walk in the ways of the Lord. And we thank you for teaching us these things. Thank you for those that will hear this CDs and over the internet in various ways in the future. Lord, let this impact their lives and change their lives, that we can walk free from fear. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.